Greetings, troubled listeners. Welcome back to the Troubled Men Podcast. I am Renee Coleman, sitting once again in Snake and Jake's Christmas Club Lounge, the heart of the Clempire, with my co-host, the original troubled man for troubled times and future mayor of New Orleans.
That is me.
Mr. Manny Chevrolet.
Yes.
Welcome, Manny.
Oh, thank you. Welcome. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah.
It's great to be in this fucking dump.
Right. We got it all to ourselves. We brought our own little crowd. Our crowd here at the table outnumbers everybody else in the joint.
Yeah, so far.
So far.
You know.
I think it's going to pick up.
Yeah, I'm sure it will.
The leading edge here.
Because the kids are on spring break here.
Right,
now in
right.
New Orleans. Now, on spring break.
Okay, go ahead. You got something to
no,
say.
I
got something.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Spring break, you're there on the big campus, Tulane campus. Now, I drive on the outskirts of it down Broadway there. It's kind of fraternity.
Because you're not allowed on campus.
Not anymore. Well, it's just some suits that
had the stocking stuff.
Well, yeah, stocking stuff.
Freshman class of 2016.
I was the one being stalked, as I recall.
Still am,
actually. We haven't gotten to that. But just because we haven't talked about it on the show, rest assured, she's still sending hundreds of emails a day sometimes.
I don't believe that at all.
Oh, I'll show them to you. We can pull them out.
Oh, pull them out now, man.
We'll get to that.
Why don't you get her on the show finally?
Well, because I'm afraid to get any closer than the email connection.
But anyway,
as I drive down on the outskirts of campus down Broadway, I noticed all the young girls or the college students. They seem to have like a uniform at certain times of the year. Like earlier, when it was kind of rush week, they all had like the prostitute dresses on. Like they were dressed like, like you could go out on the stroll in the old days when they used to have a prostitute stroll. You know, it's kind of the attire.
It's a thing of the past, then the prostitute thing.
The stroll, yeah.
Where are you getting? Where are you going with this?
Well, but then nowadays they have the uniform for the spring is bikini top and cut off shorts. Have you noticed that?
You have a problem with that?
Well, I'm just saying. I think it's funny that all of a sudden in 1 week, everybody, all the girls will wear that. You know, 90% of them anyway. Have you noticed that? Is my question.
Well, I notice them all the time, but chicks dig me. You know, so they're constantly after me on campus, so I have to, like, ignore the whole thing.
Right.
I have to, like, you know, just say, no, no, I can't do this.
Right.
You know, I'm not stalking you and stuff like that.
You don't even want to look at them when they're wearing stuff like that.
Well, I can't. I mean, I do look at them.
But you try not to, you know.
No, I try not to look at them because they're flaunting their tushies towards me.
Right.
And they're it seemed like being braless is a big thing now.
Yeah,
going
on campus?
Going braless for these campus girls.
Huh.
And even for the faculty.
Really?
A lot of the faculty are going braless, too. It's kind of disgusting.
Yeah.
But,
decorum.
You know, it's like, I've been at this campus now for 20 years, and, you know, I've said this before, I get older, but they stay the same age, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
It's okay, you know. But you've lived on the right off campus for years,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure you've seen fashion come and go, and, you know, you've got a daughter, I'm sure she's done some of those fashions, too, you know, during her days. You know, I don't know how old she is now, but yeah, it comes and goes.
Yeah, it's just interesting.
I like how the joke stopped when he brought up your daughter. I like.
Well, he stopped laughing.
Suddenly he was like, "Oh, well, hey, wait a minute."
No, my daughter wears the same things that those girls that are wearing on campus.
Does she?
Yeah, she does the same makeup.
Yeah, my daughter's not wearing stuff like that.
You know, now is that upset you?
No, it's fine. No, I just I think it does look a bit trashy, I think, you know. But and it's interesting.
Well, they're young. I mean,
sure,
come on, we were all that age. Yeah. We wanted to look trashy and punk rock and crazy going nuts.
I have not outgrown that.
I could tell by the way you're dressed right now. Yeah.
No, all right.
They're young.
Okay.
What are you going to do?
Sure. All right, well, live and let live.
You can't suspend them. They're paying 80 grand a year to go there.
Oh, no, that's fine. Everybody gets
80 grand a year. You can't tell them what to wear.
Sure, no, they all get to wear what they want.
You know.
Of course.
It's fine with me.
Right on.
They seem like good kids.
Yeah. They're all behaving
themselves. Parents.
Yeah.
That's where the trouble starts.
Yeah, that's where the trouble starts with their parents, you know, because they think they run the campus. But anyway, yeah, so Yeah, it's okay.
Right on. Well, so your brother's been in town all week, huh?
No, he decided not to come to town. He does this a lot to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Canceled at the last minute.
Yeah, he does this a lot. He's been doing this for years to me. He's like, oh, hey, I'm coming in for the weekend. I need a place to stay. And he calls me like a month in advance. And then the weekend comes, and he doesn't show up. And I said, well, where are you? He goes, oh, I forgot to call you. I can't make it. You know, he's done this his whole life to me. But he's a good guy.
All right. Well, maybe.
And I think he's in a walker now. He's got to use a walker. So it's hard for him to get around.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like one of those fat fucks on the airlines that people kick off, too, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know.
So the whole thing, travel is challenging.
Yeah, he likes to take the train because they could just put him on top of a car.
Okay.
And then just go.
So you two are close, I see.
Oh, we're very close. We love each other. Right. He's a good guy. I don't remember his name, but he's a good guy. But, you know, speaking of fat fucks on airlines, I just heard this story on some Australian airline or New Zealand airline where there was this woman who was so huge that the stewardess said, you got to put that armrest down before we take off. You know, the armrest?
Right.
Yeah. Did you hear about this?
No, I did not.
Oh, no. And the woman was like, well, I can't put the, because, you know, her TB was going over her two bellies, or three bellies were going over the other side. And the stewardess was so frustrated, I think it was an Australian airline, that the stewardess, you've got to put the armrest down before we take off. And the woman was like, I can't do it. So the stewardess just went, boom, and slammed it down and injured the fat fuck.
Oh, geez,
you know,
yeah.
Just injured them. And now there's a huge lawsuit.
Sure, yeah, it's an assault.
Apparently she's got some frequent flyer miles that they gave her, and they doubled it or tripled it, like her belly,
buying
they tripled
her off.
It, and that kind of stuff. But it was a huge scene, and they had to, you know, of course, anything, something like that, they stopped the plane, so it's
screws
it
everybody. Right.
For everybody else on the plane.
Now, what do you think about that, Manny? It's like an airline is selling space, right? They're selling space.
Yeah.
So if you come on and you can't fit in the space that they're the single space, do you think somebody should have to buy two spaces?
Well, yeah, why not? You know,
yeah,
but also
like
I heard that there's a couple of American airlines.
Then you wouldn't
now.
Have to put that arm down, right?
Right. Yeah, but I think there's like Southwest is offering if you're a fat person and you don't. Or if you're someone who doesn't want to sit next to a fat person.
Mm-hmm. Me? Yeah, yeah.
You can pay like 20% more for your ticket. And let's say if there's like a person 400 pounds and you're like 140 like me, you know, you can have that middle seat empty. So you both can kind of share it.
Huh,
you know,
but you got to come out of your pocket for that.
Well, I guess so. I don't remember the exact story, but it's kind of a good thing. You know,
I haven't heard anything about that. That's fascinating.
Yeah,
I think I would want to sit right behind the fat person. You know, in case there's a crash.
Well,
or something.
Okay.
Well, yeah, well, there you go. You got that shock absorber in front of you. Exactly. I hear that. But I know the airlines are doing all they can because you know, just 5-6 years ago, before the pandemic, it was like. The space was getting smaller and smaller and smaller, but this country is getting fatter and fatter
fatter. Yeah.
So they've got to do something to appease the
incentive
people.
Incentive is what we need. What about half-price tickets if two of you can fit in one seat?
Now you're talking.
Well, it depends who the other person is.
That's true.
You know.
There's smell to take into account.
Well, there's smell and there's...
Can we sit on each other's laps?
Well,
is that okay?
Yeah. I mean, if she's a stripper... She can sit on my lap the whole flight.
Oh, okay.
You know, that kind of thing.
You might even buy her ticket.
I might buy her ticket or buy her a bottle of champagne. There you go.
Even cheaper.
You know, Mile High Club.
Sure.
Baby. Been there, done that.
Okay.
It's not that great.
Yeah, yeah. It's
I've only heard stories.
Yeah. I did it a few times. Once with an Icelandic airline stewardess.
Wow, really?
It was on a nosebleed, or what do they call it? The red eye.
Mm-hmm.
It was from Belgium to New York. We stopped in Iceland. And there was nobody on the flight except me and about five other people and these Icelandic stewardesses who were so fucking hot, man. They were so...
Well, how do you start something like that? Is there like a hand signal?
Well, I say, can I get a drink? And they say, yeah. And I say, can I get another one? And I say, well, you're trying to get me drunk, aren't you? You know, that kind of thing. And you flirt. The fact is, Damien, Chicks dig.
Chicks dig, man. Oh, Chevrolet.
That's right. Yeah.
They've dug me. I don't want all
forever.
The secrets.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I'm not gonna.
Can't expect.
There are no secrets.
It's not.
No
it's not a big heavy lift. You know, it just happens.
And before you know it, we're in the compact bathroom. You know, drinking more vodka, and you know she's telling me her name, and there you go. Anyway, let's get back to to you, Renee.
Oh, back to me. Okay.
Yeah, you're okay, right?
I'm good. It's been a busy week since I saw you last. Jetted up to New York, got in a van, went to Albany, played there, down back to New York City, played at Joe's Pub, beautiful venue. It's much nicer than it sounds. It sounds like a corner bar, but it's a beautiful spot there in Manhattan. So played there, did a taping next day at a studio.
And now you played by yourself?
No, I was up there with Michael Cerveris and Loose Cattle.
Oh, that's your gay band that you play with.
Well, I haven't checked anybody's scorecard.
You guys play cruises together, right?
We played a Broadway cruise. Yeah, it wasn't a gay cruise.
Well, that's Broadway. I mean, equals gay. Come on, Renee.
There's a heavy correlation, heavy cross.
Either way, it's sexy.
Sure, it is sexy. There was a sexy cruise.
Yeah.
The cast.
Because they were all in the van together
the cast,
for like
anyway.
8 hours. That's
but,
scary.
So anyway, I did that this weekend. Came home on Monday. Immediately went into the studio to record a Continental Drifters cover, actually a Carlo Nucio song, with the Iguanas for an upcoming Continental Drifters book that's coming out later this year, and they have a companion tribute record or covers record that's coming out. So we did that and. Yeah, so it's been a busy week so far. Pulled out my taxes, did some of those today. Oh yeah, I left out last night. I had to Tav Falco is recording yet another record up at Sam Phillips Recording Studio in Memphis with the great Mario Monteroso, his music director, guitar player, producing, and they sent me down a stereo mix that they wanted me to play some bass on. So last night I pulled out my acoustic bass and recorded a track on the new Panther Burns record.
Wow.
So exciting things going
That's
on.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So and I leave on Tuesday, Manny. So
good.
Yeah. You'll get a break for a few weeks.
Oh God, thank goodness. Get a break for a few weeks.
Now I saw something in the news today, you know, this ongoing thing about Mayor Cantrell with the Pontalba apartment that she had. Now I thought that was long in the rearview mirror, you know, they settled all that, right? Well, apparently not, because she's been hanging on to the keys. She won't surrender the keys, and she still has her personal shit in the apartment that she won't take it out.
Well, maybe that's why she won't surrender the keys until she gets that stuff out.
So the city council, they keep passing more resolutions. You know, they finally came up with one to, the French Market Commission, whoever actually controls that, put in an eviction notice, actually went through the eviction proceedings with her, and finally, whatever that takes, 60 days, got the locks changed and moved all her stuff out. I'm imagining the locks are changed and all the mayor's shit is out on the curb in front of the Pontalvo apartments, you know. Now, I didn't see that picture. It was just in my head, you know. Anyway, did you see that, Manny?
Yeah, I saw something about that. Yeah, but, you know, what are you going to do? She's a jerk. You know, she's a jerk who is trying to make as much money. And speaking of other jerks, our former mayor, Ray Nagin, is finally free at last.
Right,
He's got the ankle bracelet off.
Right.
He's paid all his fines.
Well, he hasn't paid his fines. That's part of the contention. He still owes $80,000 in fines.
Why did he post that I'm free at last?
Well, because he plans on not repaying that money, I'm sure.
Well, but he's not going to pay.
But he's free from probation. That's what just his all supervised probation has lapsed.
Yeah,
so.
Like there was any supervised probation.
Well, I mean, technically
speaking.
I saw
him every day at CC's Coffee Shop.
Oh, did you?
Year.
Really?
Yeah.
He's just hanging out in New Orleans?
Yeah.
I thought he was hiding out in Dallas or something.
I don't know. He's a good guy, though. He seems like a good guy.
He seems like a very affable guy, man. Everybody that met him liked him, you know. It's
Just like Moriel, everyone liked him, too. Like Cantrell, everybody liked him. Like Landrieu, everybody liked him. They're all crooks.
I don't trust people that everybody likes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
because
you know what? No, up with that. You could trust me because nobody likes me.
Except for stewardess.
Stewardesses, yeah. Chicks.
The Icelandic.
And vodka.
Yes.
They love
vodka. Vodka likes you.
Yeah, vodka likes me a lot.
There's a recipe. Almost,
there's a recipe appeal. To my attractiveness.
Yeah. Right, right,
you
right.
You know. Anyway.
Alcoholism. So, will you have anything else, or should we
open it up to the guests? I think last week or the week before, we were catching up on all the Oscar-nominated films
stuff,
and I was trying to catch up on films, and I saw some films, and I finally started, me and the wife started watching this really awful movie. I don't know why it got so much recognition. Poor Things.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, what a piece of shit that movie was.
I liked it.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, how many fisheye lens scenes can you have in a film? Especially black and white. Come on, give me a break, director.
Yeah.
And then it's like, why is it that anytime an actor plays a retard, they get like fucking Oscar nominations or award nominations? It's like Emma Stone plays a fucking retard. And
well,
you gotta
go half. That was the thing from Tropic Thunder, right? That was the lesson that that they were teaching. What's his name? Ben Stiller. The character that he played had gone full, and it was not good. You got to go half.
Well, no, she went full retard on this.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm saying maybe that's the problem.
It's like, you know, Dustin Hoffman plays a retard. Daniel Day-Lewis plays a retard. He gets an Oscar. It's like, it's not easy playing a retard.
Well, she started.
I mean, you do it every week, Renee, on this show.
Shots fired.
You know, I mean, how hard is it to play a retard?
Well, you know, people don't like that word, but obviously you're saying it a whole bunch of times just to
what's wrong with that word? Retarded people.
Right. It used to be the standard term that everybody would, that, you know, that was like the clinical term.
I've played retarded before.
I believe you. But anyway, she starts off as an infantile brain, and she actually gets smarter throughout the film. So it's a progression of where she's actually quite brilliant by the end of it.
Well, she's getting raped by that guy constantly.
I thought she was into it.
Well, maybe for you, you know, because maybe you like fucking retards. I don't know.
So is this going to be our last show, Manny? Is that what this is?
Last show for a couple of weeks. Why?
Yeah. I don't know.
You know, don't edit me, Renee. I told you that day one.
Well,
don't,
you know,
edit
Manny,
me.
Again, this is a bone of contention between us. Yes. Because,
hello, FCC.
Well, there are procedural reasons to do editing, and there are flow reasons. And anyway.
So he's the final word.
Well, yeah, I
he's
edit the
final
show.
Word.
I do edit the show.
Yeah, okay. Well, maybe
you can come over and sit and edit the show.
I will next time. Maybe for this next show.
Let's do that.
Because I want to keep the word retard in the show.
You should campaign for that.
Let's do that.
Keep the retards in the show.
Let's do that. Well, you're still here, Manny, so.
Shots fired again, back and forth.
Yeah, this is fun. See, this is so fun when we do this on the show, right? We have to keep all this in because this is really the fun part of the show, right? Everybody loves this.
We're in silence.
I do.
This is like,
there are many people who
love
it.
Well, it's like as if people don't have enough squabbling in their own families, you know? Do you really want to turn into a podcast and hear people squabbling like fucking Heckle and Jekyll?
I think you do.
I think people with problems like to see other people with the same problems.
Yeah, with problems. Yeah. It relieves them of their problems.
Yeah, it makes them think, hey, it's not so bad for me. Listen to these guys.
All right, we'll see. We shall see. Well,
edit that out, actually. I don't know if I agree with
them. All this is staying in for sure. This is going into the grand jury testimony, believe me. So are we ready? Are you
exhausted? Yeah, go
now?
Ahead,
okay,
man.
You've done what you meant to do? Good. Okay, well, we have a couple of great guests here. Yeah, full house. First one is a terrific rock and roll lead singer, guitar player, songwriter, band leader. He's a first generation New Orleans glam and punk soldier. He's been in such bands as Harlot, the Backstabbers, Contenders, Aces 88. He's worked under his own name of Jack O'Ryan, as well as currently working with our other guest here, the great Damien Youth, an early guest on the show, and they're operating under the name Belladonna Lovers. So without further ado, going to bring in our terrific guest, the great Mr. Bradley Aloysius Ogeron. Brad Ogeron. Jack O'Ryan. Yes. One of my inside sources told me that you like to be referred to by your full name sometimes, so I went ahead and started with that.
Oh, yeah. Because Aloysius is my middle name. You bet.
Right on, right on. Okay, well, we'll just go with Brad. Is that cool for tonight?
Yeah, let's
right
do that.
All right. And as I mentioned, we have sitting here the great songwriter, singer, guitar player,
famous recluse
who's in spite of his reclusiveness has managed to be so prolific and produce over 50 records of recorded music, the great Mr. Damien Youth. Welcome, Damien.
Thanks.
Damien!
Yes.
Yeah, Damien goes back to show 80 back in November of 2019.
Yeah, 200
shows.
You were wearing the same outfit.
The same outfit.
He only has the one.
No, I have a uniform. Yeah, I have like a bunch of the same pants.
I dig that. See, I dig that.
Like Angus Young.
I dig that.
Like Angus Young. Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't just have that one set of short pants.
No, it's got closets full of crap. Yeah.
And Richard Simmons too.
Yeah, he's got the short shorts.
Yeah. So you and Angus Young and Richard Simmons.
We have our club.
Well, it makes sense, you know. And Steve Jobs? He always had the same thing, you know, had the washed out denim and the black turtleneck.
Yeah,
it makes it easy. Anyway, so Brad, welcome.
Well, thank you.
And now, Brad, when I mentioned to our patron here, Dave Clements, that you were coming on the show, he was amazed.
He
has left, but he did pay tribute to
you. Still alive?
on the way out, he's like, "Wow, you've got Brad Ogeron. That's so cool, man. He goes way back. He was before all of us, man." So we're gonna get to that. But tell us, did you grow up in New Orleans?
I did.
So what neighborhood did you grow up in?
West Bank.
Oh, okay. Like in Algiers?
No, in West Wigeo. But then I went to school in Metairie, so.
Oh, where'd you go to school?
I was Walters.
Walters, that's a high school?
It was a grammar school and a high school.
Oh, really?
Became Walters Prep.
Oh, you took the bus or something every day over the
Jeez,
river?
That seems like a long trip.
45 now, minutes.
45
on the,
minutes.
On the Huey Long.
That's what I was going to say. You went the Huey P. Long Bridge to school every morning. That's crazy. Yeah.
That's dangerous.
It's definitely a first for the podcast. Yeah. And wow, so how'd you wind up going to that school? Did they not have anything in West Wigeo?
There was something. It was Catholic school.
Oh, okay.
Had enough of that.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, they have that right over there in West Wigeo, that horrible convent or the orphanage. It's having a lot of suits involved with that right now.
Wait, like from the old days?
Like
Hope Haven?
Yeah, yeah, that exactly.
Oh my God.
Is that close to you?
No, that's like on the river.
Oh, okay, right on. Anyway, so did you go to where'd you go to high school?
At Walters Prep.
Walters, okay.
Yeah.
I don't even ever remember hearing of that school. Right.
It was, you know, it was like a bougie boutique school.
Really, huh?
Kind of.
I got nothing. I don't even know if I've never heard of anybody going there. So, in high school, was there a rock scene? Were people into music? What was?
Absolutely. I mean, and there were like bands, like guys a few years older than me, like playing in bands from the 60s into the 70s.
Right. So, like the Beatles were obviously huge.
So
what was your first what were you really excited by musically early on?
That's it, like everybody else, like my age, the Beatles on Ed Sullivan,
right?
You know, that was like whoa.
Now
did you have hair like the Beatles? Because your hair is beautiful today, man.
He's got some long mane.
Yeah. You're sexy, too.
Yeah.
He's a tall drink of water, too.
Yeah,
we should not miss that.
So
you want to create a picture, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So Brad's a long
So you're in high school, and what year is this? When do you graduate high school?
74.
You graduated in 74.
Yeah.
So it's the thick of it, man. Because the 60s have gone. You've got Stones, Hendrix, Cream, the Beatles, the Beach Boys.
Everything.
And then you come around. So your first band, what's your influence? Is it Iggy Pop?
The first band I was ever in?
Yeah, or was it Tony Bennett?
It was... Andy Williams. It was a glam band.
Oh.
So all of that stuff.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And it was like...
So like Captain and Tennille.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because nothing more glamorous than...
Yeah, Captain and Tennille. Captain. And Kiki D with Elton John.
Yeah. Damien's got the hat.
Tennille right.
And you've got Muskrat Love going on,
yeah.
Don't
oh,
you?
Yeah. Oh, you
my
can
fly
tell.
Was open.
She's blushing. Elizabeth is blushing. Now, in those days, like the lakefront would be open, right? It'd be like one Trans Am after another, all blasting.
Absolutely.
All blasting Kashmir, and some guy with stripped to the waist with jeans on, and a girl with a halter top,
yep.
And weed smoke everywhere.
Yep. All of those things.
I used to ride down there with my parents. I was much too young, but I remember thinking, man, I can't wait till I can do that. That looks like so much fun. Now they had closed it down. They shortly after that they closed down Lakeshore Drive to where you couldn't drive the whole thing, which
Seriously?
Is still closed down. Yeah, yeah, you can only drive stretches of it. They kind of broke it up so you couldn't be that kind of.
So like you can't go where Pontchartrain Beach was.
Well, you can go there, but only there, and then you have to go back away. You can't just drive down the whole thing. Now, speaking of Pontchartrain Beach, again, one of my sources was saying that you saw Blue Cheer at Pontchartrain Beach.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right when the first album came out.
Wow.
It was amazing.
Now, Manny,
one of your sources. What are you, a detective?
Well, I do.
One of my sources.
I have a source on Brad.
Well, what's the name of the source?
The source is Jonathan Wolfe. One of my.
Okay.
Oh, what does he know?
he knows a lot, apparently.
Nah,
no,
that's
look,
debatable.
Jonathan is such a detective. I'll say somebody will post something about something that happened to me 30 years ago, some gig I played, or. You know, and I'll go, oh, I think it was this. And Jonathan will immediately pipe in and go, no, no, it was the day before. And go, well, okay, sure.
He's like Rain Man.
Is he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he is. He's obsessed with the tapes, with the shows, with who was on every show. It is
where he got his underwear from.
Kind of Rain Man-like, now that you mention it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay, so, you know,
Pontchartrain Beach.
Pontchartrain Beach. Crazy to see those kind of shows there, huh?
Who Paul else Revere and the Raiders, Grassroots, early ZZ Top, even
before the Beards.
Yeah,
yeah,
but with
yeah.
the same band.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, it was nice, great. Man. I mean, just you know, it was
right?
free. You see the stuff for free, and you were at our amusement park.
Right.
For a kid, I mean, does it get any better?
Yeah, no, that's heaven, man. Yeah, it's a huge loss that we don't have that anymore. They also had like this '69 pop festival in New Orleans. Was that at City Park?
Well, possibly.
Okay.
I went to the first Earth Day one in like '70, I think it was.
Okay.
And in like.
I was out of town for that one.
Yeah.
That Earth Day concert.
What?
I was out of town.
Were you like four?
No.
14.
Eight.
He was in L.A. He was out at the coast. Well, so during this time, are you playing music yourself? You're starting to write songs? What's going on?
No.
Okay.
I didn't really start playing, singing until 74.
Now, what was the inspiration there? Just had to get into rock and roll.
You know what the biggest inspiration was, honestly? Seeing the Dolls in Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and I remember I was there with A.G. Parr. I don't know if you know him.
I don't.
And Michael Assunto from the Dukes.
Okay, I know that name.
Both rest in peace, or please. And we all kind of looked at each other and went, we could do that.
Yeah. Nice.
I mean, you know, it sounds like a cliche, but
like,
that's
like your Mile High.
How it happened.
It's like, kind of like your Mile High moment.
Hey, pipe down.
We could do that. Yeah.
They just looked at each other and they felt it.
But you didn't play music at that time, or you were playing some guitar already?
No, I didn't play guitar until
yesterday.
1978.
Oh, okay. But the Asuntos are a musical family, so yeah. They those guys played already? Or?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. No, I mean, I think that's kind of where it started for them as
that
well.
Was, that was the moment of, that was the big bang for Creole's glam rock, punk rock. So take us into your first band. So it gets to be like 75, just the very next year, you're in the Backstabbers, right?
No, Harlot.
Okay. Harlot, okay.
Harlot comes first. That's right. The glam band with Chuck Jung. You might know him.
I know that name.
And Billy Drew, who went on to the Backstabbers eventually.
Now, I was listening to that record today, and you're a fucking great singer right from the start. I really dig it.
Wait, what were you listening to?
The Harlot record.
Oh, Harlot. Yeah, uh-oh. Yeah, I can't hit those notes anymore.
Yeah, yeah. So you guys dive right into rock and roll, and... you know, what's the new, the, is there a, like a hard rock glam scene in New Orleans at that time?
No, nothing. There was a band called Star who just did like obvious covers.
Uh-huh.
A lot of Bowie, that sort of thing.
Now, where would these bands play?
Anywhere they could.
Well, I mean, what clubs were?
The Sands. I remember played a bunch of shows at the Sands.
Where was that?
On Claiborne.
Oh, okay.
I think it's a church now.
All right.
It's near Napoleon.
Okay. Just different ad hoc clubs. At,
yeah. I mean, there really wasn't much.
Mm-hmm.
The first Backstabber show was at Cooter Brown's.
Yeah.
And I mean, okay.
Well, it's still there.
It's whoever would book us. I mean, nobody knew this stuff.
Right.
You know, it hadn't really hit.
And what was the response from the audience? They were like, what the fuck is this? Or you had a few percentage of people who were like, I kind of dig this. And the rest were like rednecks who were like, fuck this shit.
Well, with Harlot, it was kind of like that.
Okay.
Because, I mean, you know, we had a handful of friends and stuff.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean...
And are you dressing like the New York Dolls and stuff like that, or are you just dressing? Like,
yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much. Okay, no, so
all glam there.
So I could see the reaction.
Sure.
I mean, you knew. Yeah, what and I mean, you know, some people dug it.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Some people were having none of it.
Yeah, exactly.
And some, I bet, were confused too. Like,
yeah,
she's hot, kind of thing.
Exactly.
Tall drink of water.
Hot and tall.
So, did you know those guys who wound up being in the Normals?
Oh,
before
yeah.
Before they were in the Normals? Like, what was going on?
I went to school since third grade with Steve.
Steve Walters?
Yeah.
He's my hero.
Walters, get it?
He's related.
Aunt's
oh, that's
school.
The Wal. Oh, really? Okay, yeah. Now it's all coming. Wow. He's really one of my heroes, man. He was such a rock and bass player, man. Salt of the Earth guy. Man, what a rock and bass player. So you were aware of those guys in the norm, Dave Bruton and Charlie Hanson?
Okay, let's back up.
Sure, yeah, please do.
All right, here's what happens. Everything begins with Russell Jobert and his band Ultrax. Now, Ultrax was him on guitar, Randall Gary on bass, Eddie St. Pay on vocals, and Mike Kendrick on drums. Okay, they were operating the same time as Harlot. Both bands broke up right around the same time. And I had gone to see Ultrax a lot because they were amazing. They were like the Stooges. They were just this heavy grind of riffery, you know? And it was amazing. And they were playing original material. So, both bands break up at the same time. Russell and I hook up. We put together the first version of the Backstabbers with Charlie Normal on drums.
Okay.
And a guy named Tim Addy on bass. Lasted about a year. Played Cooter Brown's, and broke up. Russell and I stayed together, put a new version of the Backstabbers together with Randall from Ultrex, Billy Drew, who had played with Mink, who were like the Led Zeppelin band here around the same time as Harlan and that band Star. Okay. Oh, and Ken Good on keyboards. So that's the band that most people know. And when we started, we were lucky to have, like, you know, you hear with the Sex Pistols about the Bromley contingent, all the friends and hangers-on and everything. Mm-hmm. Well, we had a fair number of those from the get-go because of friends of whoever. And ever. So it was it
Y'all
was a nice
cool guy. So yeah,
only because of that, really.
Well, I mean,
and
didn't hurt.
And so we had like a small built-in audience, and then we had to build it up. I mean, but we used to play like Fat City, and you know.
The Showboat, was that going then?
Oh, yeah. We played Showboat. We did one of those radio shows at that. And places that are just long gone, I think. Some place called Changes, Mon Ami, all kinds of stuff. But they're just not around.
Right, anymore. Right. No, I just like to hear these anachronistic stuff.
Yeah.
What's the first, like... punk rock stuff that you guys become aware of? Or, I mean, of course, you know, Stooges, all the proto-punk stuff, you know, but I don't know, like
the New York stuff right off the bat, and especially the Heartbreakers.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, we were like Johnny Thunders freaks.
Yeah,
and sure. Everything that goes with that.
Yeah, okay.
If you know what I mean.
Sure, yeah, I think we do.
I thought you might. It was like the days of the Dungeon and Deja Vu and all that stuff like that. It was cool.
Right. Now, this guy that when you said those things, I think of Dino Cruz. Was Dino Cruz like orbiting around at this point?
I've known him forever. We also went to school together.
Did you?
At Walters.
At Walters?
Yeah.
Wow. Rest in peace, Dino Cruz.
Yeah, I know.
Dearly departed.
I love him.
He was a character, man, for sure.
Yeah, he was that.
That's the kind of guy that could take two Blue Valium and go dance all night on them. Like, how could you do that, man? Man, I'm having a ball talking. Maybe we should take a break, though, Manny.
Yeah, sure. Let's take a break. The Troubled Nation knows the drill, and we'll be right back.
Yes. Back with Mr. Manny Chevrolet.
Yes, you are.
I am Rene Coleman. Back with our guest, Mr. Bradley Aloysius Orgeron, a.k.a. Brad Orgeron, a.k.a. Jack O'Ryan, and our longtime good buddy here, good friend, Damian Youth. Now, Brad, I know that you haven't listened to this podcast before because I saw that you said you'd never listened to any podcast.
I have never
before.
Heard
okay,
a
well,
podcast.
All right.
So
you're
so
better off.
You're better off, yeah.
I'm a virgin.
Right on. Okay, nice, nice. You're
I won't be listening to this one either.
Your maiden voyage.
Neither will we.
Right.
Who could blame you?
Sure. But those who have been listening to the podcast know we're operating under a listener-supported model here.
Yes.
You know, we don't have a paywall. A lot of podcasts, they'll have like a few freebies, and then everything else is behind a paywall, you know. But we just put it all out there for free, and we rely on the kindness of our listeners to support us, to buy us cocktails and notebooks. And, you know, to that end, we have a couple of like a Venmo link and a PayPal link. And people use those. They'll send us some contributions. And actually, this week we got a contribution from a recent guest, a guy I love, Charlie Kohlmeyer, great drummer, right, scion of a New Orleans family. And Charlie Kohlmeyer chipped in, bought us a couple of rounds of drinks. So thank you very much, Charlie.
And it's sad he just passed away, too.
Yeah, no, yeah. He's still here. He's still here.
Oh, no, I thought he passed away.
I like your story better.
It's a different Charlie. Yeah. Well, Charlie would like, I don't know, okay.
I thought he
just kind of laid it out that even though we're guests, we should probably still pitch in a little. Yeah.
Well, no, that's not required. No, not at all. I'm not trying to suggest that.
Are you sure?
No. Well, I mean,
pass the collection.
It wouldn't hurt my feelings if you did, but I'm not.
Just get it from the cheap bastards out there.
Just your presence here is enough. You're contributing enough. Look, Damien, just the work that you do, making music, recording, you're doing God's work. You've done more than enough for the world at large. You know, you don't need to chip in monetarily.
I still chip in though. I like what you do too.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You have no idea how much money he makes.
I don't. It's true.
How much money he takes.
He's worth it. He's worth it.
It's capitalism in action.
It's a free enterprise, as they say.
Yeah.
And those links are in the show notes of every show, the Venmo and PayPal for everybody there, and also in the Facebook posts. So follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Also, rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening to the podcast. Give us 5 stars. Cost you nothing. Helps us a lot. Let's see. We do have the Trouble Men podcast T-shirts. Still, the links are all there. All the popular colors and sizes. I'll be out next few weeks with the Iguanas and Sonny Landreth Band. Yes. There I pulled it out. Didn't have to look at my notes. Just had to file back through the old Rolodex. Yes, we'll be out there all through the Midwest, so check out.
Are you sure?
As far as I can recall.
We're going to be out with Frank Sinatra next week.
I might be.
Yeah, the Iguanas are going to be backing Tony Bennett next week.
Frank Sinatra Jr.
Yeah,
anyway.
Tina Sinatra.
Yeah. That's the real talent in the family. Check it all. All those dates are at iguanas.com. All right, enough of that. Back to our guests, Mr. Brad Ogeron and Damien Youth. So, Brad, so the whole punk thing is happening. It's exciting time in New Orleans. I'm just coming up. I'm in high school. I'm starting to go to these shows. Now, you were actually at the Sex Pistols show in Baton Rouge,
that
right?
That is correct.
Now, I remember the next day, David Kent, who I was at Ben Franklin with, comes back and he's going, man, it was so great. It was just the coolest thing ever. And I was like, oh, fuck you. I'm too young to have gone. My parents wouldn't have let me out of the house. So it was cool, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was a mess.
Sure.
You know, musically, it was like a train wreck. But,
yeah.
Hey.
Well, I think it was like the second to last show because they went to Austin after that and then to San Francisco. Then
that's
it's over.
Yeah.
And Sid, you know, he couldn't.
Yeah. He had no business being on the road, much less on stage.
They
yeah.
never should have gotten rid of Matlock.
He was a great bass player.
He could write songs.
He's a great songwriter, great bass player.
What more do you want?
Yeah. No, he's a solid citizen.
He liked the Beatles.
Sure.
That's
why they got rid of him. Yeah.
Well, Johnny Rotten's. Sid was his best friend.
Right.
And they said, you know.
He needed company.
Yeah, he needed the company. Because they were lovers. I think they were lovers there for a while.
I think I heard that, yeah.
Yeah, they were lovers.
I can't say it's not true.
You know, but yeah, that must have been exciting.
No, you weren't there.
I don't know.
Well, you know,
it goes on behind closed doors.
After the San Francisco show, they were supposed to come to L.A., where I was living at the time. And they never made it.
Canceled.
Yeah, it did. Because Sid walked through a plate glass door. And, you know, it was over. They went to Brazil. Half of them went to Brazil.
That's right.
They made a movie that sucked.
It sure did.
Yeah. You know. So you're doing that. You see the Pistols, and then you start your band. And what happens in New Orleans from like 78 to 82 as far as punk rock?
Well, we started before the Pistols.
Okay.
The Pistols, it was sort of like they came in the tail end of my stint with Backstabbers.
Yeah.
Okay.
But what was your question?
My question is, okay.
Just trying to get a flavor for the scene in New Orleans.
Yeah, New Orleans.
Time.
Did you go to New York? You stay in New Orleans? I don't know what you did. And Backstabbers. So
yeah.
I can't trust you.
This is
well,
true.
Well, I can actually give some direction here. So,
What did Wolfie tell you?
Well, no. I know this on my own. So like the Red Rockers come up along the same time. You get associated with the Red Rockers, right? Do you go on tour? Is there a tour manager or something?
You've been talking to Darren, haven't you?
Darren was on the show, man. He posted one.
Well,
comment.
I mean, you have us on, so I can't say anything.
Wait, what? I didn't hear that. Sorry.
No. Yes. We went. They were supporting the Dead Boys.
Uh huh.
And we went on a little Texas tour, a little whirlwind tour. And. Well, it was kind of a mess. I mean, it was good shows, but yeah.
Okay, well.
And that's where you meet this guy.
Right.
No. I don't know.
Well, yeah, we do want to get Damien in here, but you know, so but you're out with the Red Rockers. Now the last time I saw you was at the Red Rockers reunion that they just had.
Right.
What an incredible night, huh?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, they never should have sounded that good, you know.
They did sound really good.
They sounded better than they ever sound.
And with Brian Barbaro on drums.
Absolutely.
Now, you play with Brian Barbaro in Glamorama.
I did.
Now,
yeah.
You know, Brian Barbaro and I played together in his father's band when we were like 17, 18 years old.
And with Alex, right? Or were that two different bands?
Brian played drums with the Alex band with me one or two times in New Orleans, so it wasn't like a steady thing.
But, oh, okay.
But I mean, I played with him with the Pat Barbaro big band week in and week out, you know, like for years.
I've seen the big band.
What a sweet guy, Brian. And Brian played so good with the Red Rockers, man.
Yep.
And
he can play anything.
You know? He's always swinging, though. He's always got that relaxed feel, even playing the Red Rockers material. It was so interesting. So that was a great night. One thing I noticed, like, so many people are dead from the scene, you know, since then, but so many people are still alive. So many people were there.
Yeah. This is to be expected after a point, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, I thought that was a great night. Now that kind of reminds me of people that weren't there, like George the Max. So George is like a contemporary of mine. Were you aware of George the Max as like an up and comer when you were
absolutely.
Already
back then?
Back in the old days,
right when like everybody decided to like form a rockabilly band.
Oh, okay.
That was like right before I left, kind of like 79, 80, somewhere up in there. And
everybody got the Murrays and the Pompadours.
Yeah. And I knew George real well.
Yeah.
But there was a bunch of people that are gone.
Dope Fiend continuum there a bit.
I think he jumped on after I was done.
Oh, okay. All right.
So.
And then also people that were there that night at the Red Rocker show, Steffi.
Oh, I know. It was so good to see her get back on stage finally.
She sounded great.
I've been like bugging her for years.
From Steffi and the White Sox, a legendary New Orleans punk rock band.
Yeah.
Again, Brian Barbaro connection.
Exactly.
It's a small town.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, even smaller scene.
Sure.
When you think about it.
Right. So anyway, so you split, you go to Austin, you know, like the, when it's like early 80s or something?
80, 81. It's,
now, what were you escaping, trying to have a, as they say in NA, like a geographical cure, perhaps?
Unfortunately, that didn't quite work out.
It didn't pan out.
But no, it was it was part of a deal.
Like with the DA, you had to leave town.
Yeah, yeah, you got to leave town. You got to enroll in.
really? Yeah, you had to leave town.
Yeah, and get
they
a probation
can never
officer.
Enforce that. This city doesn't have
sneak
to
back in. But you'd had enough. You were looking.
I had to get out.
Yeah.
But I just swapped.
You just found a new scene in Austin.
A new drug.
Sure. Okay.
But yeah.
This is a good show. I knew none of this. This is all new to me.
That's what we do. Look, we had Nikki Sonsenbach on a few months ago before he passed. The greatest concentration of biographical information on Nikki Sonsenbach is on the Troubled Men podcast.
Right on.
You're in shallow water outside of that. So continue. So you're in Austin for a while. The geographical cure is not working. You decide to go to San Francisco.
Correct.
Okay. Not Morocco or.
I took a trip to Afghanistan.
Tangiers. Yeah.
And, no, but I was good by then.
Okay. Right on.
I didn't travel with baggage. As
sure,
it were.
Sure, sure, sure. Okay. So you get to San Francisco.
It's the mid-80s? It's the mid-80s?
It's 1981.
So you didn't spend too long in Austin?
A year.
Oh, a year in Austin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Of not going to class.
To meetings.
No. I went to, but I mean, you know, I think I went to like one, maybe two.
Yeah, to get your they don't card
care.
Signed.
They,
right?
they just don't care about
yeah, that. I understand. I've been there, done that.
Yeah.
You call up the phone.
Then you forge the rest of the card, right?
You dial the number and they say a caller. And if your caller comes up.
Then you have to go pee.
Gotta go pee.
Yeah, have exactly. you been looking for work? Oh, yeah, you better
yeah,
have.
Yeah, I've been looking for work.
Yeah.
It's tough out there.
Yeah.
So you get to San Francisco. You wind up spending some time there. You put down roots.
You did time in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Alcatraz, right?
No, I would have done time here if I stayed. But no, San Francisco was great. It was a perfect time to go. I mean, maybe a couple of years earlier would have been cool, too, to see that sort of punk, that kind of, you know,
right,
part
right.
of the punk scene.
Right, that flavor.
But
yeah.
this, like, the post-punk stuff was happening.
They had all kind of stuff, all these artists and stuff. They had, like, Research was there, you know,
yep.
Mark Pauline,
yep.
you know, the
yep.
sculpture, Throbbing Gristle, all that kind of shit was...
Yep. Survival Research.
Yeah,
those,
Survival
those
Research
crazy
Laboratory.
Guys.
Yeah, were you adjacent
it was,
to that?
Yeah, it was
there,
like tangential.
There.
It was part of
right,
it.
Right.
Because like the post-punk stuff was kind of arty, and there was crossover and
right,
stuff
right,
like
right.
that. So I just started playing in bands in San Francisco.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
And then the Residents were up there at that time, right?
Yeah.
And, like, Snake Finger, were you...
Yeah. Yeah. I never was a big Snake Finger fan.
Really?
No.
Kill the Great Raven? No?
Yeah.
Like Clubfoot Orchestra?
Speaking Chinese.
I don't know.
Yeah, I knew some of those guys.
Yeah. It was
how
scene.
Long you
Tuxedo
up
Moon.
Okay.
That was another big band right
How long
now.
Are you up in the Bay Area?
Until, let's see, from 81 until...
Last night?
2010?
No.
2011?
Oh, so okay. you were there for a while.
That was home.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you have a good time there, but the siren call of New Orleans is inescapable.
Oh,
well, the
God, there,
got
was,
too
there was a lot that happened before that happened.
Oh, okay.
No, I had sworn I was never coming back.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just too many ghosts?
Kind of.
Yeah.
But, you know, that stuff wears off.
Right.
And the situation in San Francisco just got to be ridiculous.
How so?
Rent? I got priced out.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I ended up in Hawaii. And
it's
that
not
was,
cheap there.
It was a mistake. I mean, it was just poor planning.
Yeah.
You had a free ticket.
No. We bought a house.
Oh, you bought a
and
house
and lost everything.
Oh my goodness! All right.
Hawaii is one of those places that's so beautiful, it can be actually oppressive, don't you think?
Well, we were on the Big Island, so you don't. It's not all swanky.
No, I know the Big Island.
Yeah,
yeah, but it's so still,
you
still,
know, it's
Hawaii,
oppressive.
Still beautiful, though, you know.
For the first 6 months,
right, I'm
and
saying,
then you're doing the same things over and over because there's nothing to do.
Right. Yeah. Well, there's such a contrast between like the physical beauty and your internal despair. That's what gets me.
It's true, though.
That's what gets me about Hawaii. It's too much of a contrast.
It was like when,
you know,
Sanford and Son went to Hawaii.
Yeah, that was a rough episode.
Yeah,
man.
The contrast.
It's too much. Too
it
much
wasn't
contrast.
Like when the Brady Bunch went to Hawaii.
Yeah, yeah, I remember. No, everybody remembers that one.
Got involved in
yeah,
that
yeah,
everybody
like
remembers that.
Little jewel in
the
cave.
It's got
the
tiki,
like
yeah,
that.
You know, Greg the goes out and he's got the thing around his neck.
It wasn't like Aunt Wanda and Red Fox arguing, you know, over, you know, the poi, you know, that kind of
Aunt
stuff.
Esther.
Yeah, Aunt Esther, yeah, that's right. Aunt Esther and the poi.
I just made a Grady reference the other day.
You made a Grady reference the other
day? Yeah, I love that character, Grady.
Yeah.
He was so good. Anyway, so you finally go through Hawaii, then you come back to New Orleans. I'm trying to get to Danny.
Then I go
you.
Back to San Francisco.
Okay. All right.
And that's where you meet the Mitchell brothers, right? Oh, there's a story here.
I got a Mitchell
here.
Brothers story.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Please continue.
Yeah,
go
I got
on.
A Mitchell Brothers story,
knew
too.
The girl who had to flee to Brazil because the Mitchell brothers had put a hit out of them.
Oh,
wow.
So, really?
Yeah. Yeah, that was fun.
Oh,
fun
wow.
Fun times.
Good times.
And, I mean, really, nobody's heard from her since.
Well, they weren't the brightest guys, though.
But they were, you know.
Yeah, they had some
they had
pull.
Muscle.
Yeah, that's some muscle and stuff like that, yeah.
You want to tell your Mitchell's brothers?
No. We've got to get to our other guests here.
We
want to get back to what you guys are doing
what
nowadays.
The hell is going on
there's
over
a,
here?
There's a pan drum
setup. Oh, yeah, they're
going to
start playing these timbales, which are so annoying.
Yeah, yeah.
The pan drums.
Yeah, close
so you
enough.
Guys are going to be looking for a new venue for this soon, right?
No.
Snake and Jakes will be here long after we're all gone. Don't worry.
There's many empty lots around here. So.
Yeah.
Long
you know, Jimmy Chubbuck, speaking of old punk rock guys, Jimmy Chubbuck was camping out across the street for a while. And then
how long ago?
Just a couple of months ago.
Yeah, he's here.
He got forcibly repatriated from Guatemala or Honduras, wherever he was holding up, and they deposited him in New Orleans. And he went to the musician's clinic, and somehow he mentioned Dave Clement's name. And Dave was like, "How do you fucking mention my name? I barely even know Dave."
Dave put him up. So, in an abandoned apartment.
First he was camping out just in the lot. Then he moved into the totally empty, no power. Like there was a blazing summer this past summer with an extension cord with a fan. And Jimmy, and every time I would go, I was trying to get him on the podcast, man. I eventually gave up. But I would go over there, and he'd be sitting there, like in a lawn chair, you know, like one of those with the green and white straps, you know. He'd be sitting there, smoking cigarettes, and I'd just say, "God, okay, you're still alive. Okay, good. Proof of life. That's good." And I was talking to Dave about it. He said, "Look, man, every morning when I walk over there with a cup of coffee, I'm expecting to see him dead in the building." But, you know, again, Jimmy Chubbuck, he's like a cockroach. He survives, you know.
But no, didn't Dave give him a residency at that airline motel?
No, I think the musicians clinic put him up the London Lodge.
The London Lodge on airline. Yeah, they put him up there.
The headquarters of Carlos Marcello.
He's the ice maker there. He's making ice there for the people.
He just sells the ice. He stands next to the machine. He's the ice troll.
Yeah, he's the ice guy. Over there.
All right.
He seems like a good guy.
He's another tall drink of water. I love to. have to get him on the podcast.
He needs to quit smoking.
Yeah. We can't smoke inside here anymore. Anyway, well, so, Brad, so now you're back in New Orleans, 2010. Is that when you hook back up with Damien?
No, not quite. That's
hey, fuck your intro then, man.
Well, hey, you're coming. That's when I hooked up with Brian Barbaro,
and you start playing with Glamorama.
No, so I play with the Backstabbers.
Backstabbers, again, a reconstituted version.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, with this time with Chuck Jano playing guitar.
And then eventually.
Danny.
I know Danny. Danny played with some New York bands. Danny's no longer with us, so let's not say anything mean about Danny.
Wait, what?
No, think we lost Danny. He's dead, so you can talk as much shit as you want.
Are you serious?
I think so, yeah.
You don't hurt feelings.
I don't know. I don't want to... if Danny's out there, I'm sorry, man.
Listening to
that. Yeah, I think that's more hurtful to say that he's dead when he's not than to say I hate him.
I don't know.
Is he dead?
Anyway...
He's very dead to me.
So Brian and let's accelerate this.
Okay, quick.
And so let me get back to me and Damien. The first time that you and I met that I recall is that you hired me and Carlo Nucio to back you up on the Anne Rice Halloween Ball.
That's true.
And I'd heard your name forever, and then I heard you, and I was like, wow, this guy is so talented. This guy's right up my alley. I love Bowie. You love Bowie. You know, this is like it's a parallel stream. It's all these influences that we all have in common, and you just ooze this stuff. And we actually did a great recording with Carlo. We did Buzzy Beano's studio, and we spent a lot of time. You had Zane working with you at the time. See, I did. My brain
that's
still
really
works.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah. And Zanatronics.
That's right.
And Carlo and I did a great mix of it. And we gave it to you, and then you took it and put it back in your 4-track cassette machine and did a whole bunch of more overdubs in a real shitty way in your bedroom, and it sounded way better. It sounded fantastic.
There is something about that 4-track hiss that is home to me.
Well, it's the warmth of the analog, you know? Yeah. So that is your medium that you've been doing this. And the story you told me when I first was meeting you and hearing your songs, I was like, how do you write this shit? Where it's come from? And you're talking. You're like, well, you know, I'll hear a record and I'll think, well, what song is missing off of this record? Let me write this song.
Right. Or if you ever have like your anticipation up for a record, it comes out, you drop the needle, and it's just not hitting you. So you study the cover, and you say what should have been on that record, and then you try to write it. Yeah, it wasn't.
No, I haven't done that, but you have done that many times.
I've done that.
And very successfully so.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, no, brilliant.
I don't know what I actually sound like.
None of us do.
Yeah.
Really. But you're
I hear all the ingredient in there.
Yeah, no.
Somebody said that Damien Youth sounds like everybody, but nobody sounds like Damien Youth.
I love that. Who was that? Like, Glenn Stoller?
Is that some journalist or something?
It was Brian Cederberg wrote that.
Okay.
It was Don Rickles.
Don Rickles. In a quieter moment.
Yeah. He said it with a different tone.
Yeah.
Right.
His home in Malibu.
He was visiting Carson. Carson was there. He's coming. But no, you know, like all the cool people dig Damien Youth, you know, Glenn Stoller, Carlo Nucio, Renee Coleman.
Oh, that's...
Scatman Crothers.
All
Roman Polanski.
Rice, Roman Polanski. Big talent.
Yeah. I don't think he likes me. Too old for him.
No.
But
he's a good
still have
guy.
Supple skin,
he's a
though.
Good guy.
He's a great
man.
Director.
Yeah.
You know, please. Let's not go bad on Roman.
No.
So Brad, you come back to town. You see. Damien is there adrift without Zane or I don't know.
Johnny introduced us, didn't he?
I think so.
Carson?
on like St. Claude.
Actually, Johnny Indovino from Human Drama.
Oh, okay. Johnny Depp?
Yeah. Right, Johnny Indovino. Yeah, yeah. Who was a repeating figure in your life, a music business guy who's always believed in you.
You guys are talking about. But right. He was playing a show that Brad booked, and he invited me to come do a few songs. And then we all got up and played together.
Right. Oh, that was that the... That's the first time we met. And I had known of him.
Yeah, you heard the name.
Afar. Well, I had one of his CDs, like, before I even moved back here and everything. And at first I thought he was a different guy. And then I found out he was a different guy.
I don't know what that means, but I'm laughing along.
I
have that effect on people.
Just the timing is good, you know.
And when we met, I mean, obviously, it was the same thing. It was like we had so many of the same very obscure influence. And I think the thing that sold it was the Lammas Night Laments series. Okay.
It's a song of yours?
No, it's this kind of dark folk compilation that came out that not too many people knew about, but we both knew
about it. Yeah, it was like real.
So we were constantly trying to stump each other with obscure music.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Like, I've never played music with a guy who knew who Peter Hamill was or Van der Graaf Generator on their own, you know?
Okay.
And so he and I were just like back and forth with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Nice.
Trying to top each other, kind
well,
of.
Well, we're both tops, so.
Oh, okay.
We're both tops. Is that what you said?
It gets tricky. Yeah.
I think that's the first time that reference has been made on the podcast, actually. I like it.
But I remember you were on show, 30 or 80?
80,
or,
yeah, yeah.
You were
yeah.
on show 80, and I can't remember a thing from it. Except,
Yeah.
But you were, this was back at the NOAC when we did it at the club.
Oh, I like
there.
That club.
The ring yeah, room. I'm yeah. still a member. Yeah. They haven't kicked me out yet. Yeah.
Yet.
But you were then living in Pennsylvania, and you had this rock and roll hotel or motel.
Yeah, I just got back from that.
Okay,
yeah.
And is that still happening? That?
We sold our half. She actually found it. Elizabeth Bach found it. And then we bought it.
Craigslist or something?
It was like on eBay.
It was in like East Pittsburgh, or
it was like Windber, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, okay, so right outside of Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
right
you had like a little haunted house kind of collective
and
there.
It like but it was like a hip place for bands.
Yeah, well, what we decided to do was just like let artists in the area live there for free, provided they fix up their rooms.
Oh,
and so it was like we so put them. That, it was like that, ants, you know?
Yeah,
they went in there.
So
and,
that
and,
was a fucking.
So did they do
never
it?
Happened.
Yeah, and it worked for
oh,
everybody.
Oh, it did work?
It worked.
Okay.
It sounds like communism to me.
It sounds like communism.
Well, it's not really. Not really. It's self-help, you know.
Yeah,
it's,
it was just, we took this old building for $10,000, found the local freaks,
right.
put the flag out,
and put them
around.
To work.
And it didn't really put them to work, just said, you know, tired of paying rent.
Here's an opportunity.
Want to do your art? Come do it here and do it on that wall.
So basically, what genius, happened though man. Is a bunch of junkies moved in, right?
No. I wish. That would have been a lot more interesting.
That's what you're hoping for.
Yeah,
it was Twin Peaks.
She looks
there.
Like she's jonesing
Twin
right
Peaks.
Now.
Oh, not with that big smile. No, that's a girl. Who's happy
no,
with life.
I'm messing with you. I
she's
have no idea
Jamie
who she
and
is.
You, as are we all.
Yeah.
I met her on the flight over.
Yeah.
Inga.
On Icelandic Air, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, she's not drinking though, so I don't
well,
know.
She's got to drive. She's
she's driving.
Performing
she's
public driver. Service driving.
Oh,
her,
you're the Uber driver tonight?
She's the wife, yeah.
Oh, okay.
The wife. Oh, I like that term.
Well, yeah.
Get
it's,
a go-cup,
great term.
Man. Get a go-cup.
Classic. Classic position. So, so you guys have sold your interest in the
we sold it to Blair Murphy, the guy we purchased it with,
okay.
and he still has it.
Cool. So you guys are back closer, are you like in Ponchatoula or
no,
something.
Well,
or,
well, kind of Hammond.
Okay, see, yeah. I wasn't far off.
Yeah.
So you like it? You like out in the country?
Yeah,
you came
I
from
like
the country.
It.
Now, our guests, I would advise everyone go back, listen to, it's called Damien Youth on the Record, episode 80. You talk about your kind of a religious childhood.
Yeah, yeah.
Your, you know, loss of faith. Yet, I contend that it's not a loss of faith. You are someone who is obviously so connected with the divine. These names don't mean anything. You know? they're really completely unimportant. That's where we get lost in the weeds.
Are you wanting to have a religious debate? Is that where this is going?
No,
you're trying
not
to step
all.
Around that, aren't you?
No,
you're like,
no.
Last time you were on.
No, I'm trying to remind everyone of
yeah. Last time you were on, you weren't wearing gloves. What's the deal with the gloves this time you're on?
I'm trying not to leave any fingerprints.
Yeah. Since I've become a recluse post COVID, I'm kind of a germaphobe.
Really?
Oh, good, good. I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that.
You know, Manny gives me a hard time because I will eat popcorn left by a previous
movie goer.
That's brave, my friend. You're a brave man.
It's always worked out fine. It's
well, he's just a cheap fuck. He doesn't want to buy popcorn.
It's a waste to throw it in the garbage. What are we doing here? You know. I don't know.
He doesn't want to spend $10 for a bucket of popcorn.
$10. $10.
Yeah, he doesn't want to spend $10.
Yeah, I would.
Anyway, back to you. So you guys currently. Right before I'll bring us to the precipice here. Right before COVID, I got invited by you guys to attend a rehearsal with Carlo Nucio at his home studio he'd built there on his property, Mid-City, and we had a Belladonna's band rehearsal.
We went
over some material, a bunch of Damien Youth material, a few things we'd played on previously, and we had a great rehearsal, and we were all excited about doing this project. Carlo's... And then the next week, COVID shut everything down.
Right.
And it was literally the next day.
The next day.
We brought COVID.
It kind of took the wind out of me, though, to be honest with you. When COVID happened and we lost Carlo, I just really don't feel like performing that much anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah,
unlike the guy right
behind
you. You're alone. Yeah, daddy.
Still, the time marches on, Damien. Look, they don't care if you. I mean, I care if you feel like performing, but
I mean, I like writing and recording still, but I don't really care about playing parties and stuff like that.
Sure.
Shut up.
So you guys have currently been working on music, right? Even without me and Carlo.
We still write. We still get together and hit the peace pipe and write songs.
And you have recordings coming out soon? Somebody was saying that?
We're trying to put something together.
Soon is very relative in our world.
Yeah, sure.
But we're at the demo stage.
You can say, we have a record coming out this year, and no one will hold you to it.
What's odd is we have
a record coming out this year.
Yeah, there you go. That's how you do it, man.
I'm going to hold him to it.
Okay. All
that's
right.
That's a bad move, my friend.
Good luck, huh?
Yes. It's good to have goals, you know?
Yeah, well.
You plant a flag, you try to do it, you know? If you fall short, it's okay, you know?
To me, even though you guys were talking about old live shows, a live show, when it's over, for me, it's kind of over. But the recordings live on.
Sure.
And I like putting a lot more energy in that direction.
Okay.
Than playing live.
But. I'm not mad at that.
I totally agree with that. Because, I mean, can we like YouTube a performance of yours? Can we say?
Yeah.
Can YouTube? See, that's what I love about that's the only thing I really like about the internet. It's like, well, man, I remember that Miniman show that I saw in 1981. Maybe it's on YouTube.
There it is.
Boom.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
But see, I hate all of my live recordings.
No, I hate all of those.
Man.
I'm going to
push back on that. So today I listened to, I went to Brad's Bandcamp page, and he's got, like, you got 50 records. He's got 30 records up over, and... The last one is a live radio session that the two of you guys did. It's four songs. Brad's playing a 12-string acoustic guitar, which it's returning to like this Tyrannosaurus Rex kind of thing. You know, like Bowie, like all the early Bowie recordings. What makes them, what everybody misses is Bowie's playing 12-string acoustic guitar.
Right, right.
And if you don't have that, it doesn't sound like those records. But Brad's playing that. You're just playing regular 6-string acoustic guitar, and you're singing live on the radio, and I'm listening to the recording. I'm going, the sound of the guitars in the room are radiating. They're singing, oh, what the fuck is that sound? It's just two guitars in the room, man.
Right, right.
It sounds like a record. It's so, this is where, to me, like live performance is like a prayer. It's a devotional exercise.
Right.
I think that's what you and I, you know, have, you know, see in common. That's what I see in you is when you make recordings, it's a devotional exercise.
Yeah. I've had moments like that, but I look at it more like therapy.
Sure, like that too. Well, yeah, it's a prayer. That's it. It's that's therapy.
But it lives forever, man.
Yeah.
It lives forever. Well, yeah. That's what
I'm afraid of. You know.
No. Don't be afraid.
Because
of
when
that.
You record, you tweak everything the way you want it. But then when you're live, it's usually like a board mix or
but
something.
That's what makes it even more special.
Yeah.
Because you achieve that with nothing.
Don't say special around this guy.
Right. I don't think that's the word he would use.
No. But I'll use their parking permits. I'll tell you that.
Sure. That's fine. I'm down with that. as long as you put on a good limp and you walk away from the car.
Right.
You got to sell it.
Yeah.
Well, man, what a fun podcast! I think we've done it, huh?
Yeah,
I think so.
As always, we've gotten away with it, man. You're fantastic,
once again.
Man. I don't remember who you are, but you're fantastic.
It's okay. You don't need
Brad Orgeron, you're all right. Damien Youth, superstars of New Orleans music.
Brad,
yes, Brad, Jack O'Ryan.
Jack O'Ryan. Are you? Is that from Burt Jansch?
Yeah.
Jack O'Ryan? All right.
Yeah.
Just making sure.
There's many personae here.
Yeah, you never hung out in Reefer Ridge? Okay, good.
Good, yeah.
Because I'm not going to bring up any of that shit.
Right. No.
Right. You know, I mean, I was born and raised here, and there's huge sections of the city I've just never even bothered going to.
Yeah. Why would you?
You're fine.
Yeah,
you're good.
You're all right.
You've
done well.
Yes, and man, it's really livened up in here. They got the congas, they got the trap set, they got the pan drums.
That's our
they
cue
got
to get out of here.
A tuba.
I see a tuba.
Start playing.
It's time to go.
Yeah. All right, you see a tuba, it's time to go.
Let's go. Right. We got to take a picture.
As always on the Troubleman podcast, we like to say, trouble never ends.
But the struggle continues, baby.
Thank you. Thank you
good
so
night.
Much.
I was raised on Jesus Christ. I was told how he gave up his life. I would cry, I would pray at night. Where I felt protected by his holy light, I believe
It was a beast with an erection.